This is WHYY's Morning Edition. 30 years ago today, under Mayor Wilson Good, Philadelphia police ended a standoff with a radical group MOVE, dropping an explosive device on the group's fortified headquarters along the 6200 block of Osage Avenue in West Philadelphia. 11 people were killed and more than 60 homes were burned to the ground. MOVE and authorities had been clashing in the neighborhood for years. In 1978, police went toe-to-toe with MOVE. The result was a shootout and the death of a police officer. I recently sat down with local TV journalist Vernon Odom, who covered both the 1978 and 1985 confrontations. I asked him to recount his experience from May 13, 1985.
My day actually started the day before, May 12th, which was Mother's Day. I had dinner with some friends. They started evacuating the neighborhood, and I knew the confrontation was going to be violent, deadly. That was my sense. I could see it, and I could feel it coming. The MOVE people who were alienated and disaffected from society for one reason or another. I knew the police were very bitter and angry about the 1978 confrontation in which policeman James Rapp was killed. So I knew the bitter history. I saw that evening, that afternoon, the SWAT team march in there. I had talked to the MOVE people in advance. I had talked to Mayor Good about it, and I knew death was in the air there. I knew it was coming in horrific violence. The massive buildup of arms the police took over there, M60 machine gun, assault rifles, explosives. I knew MOVE wasn't going to back down, and I knew the police certainly weren't going to back off this time either.
So you had an assignment editor at the time. What were they telling you to do? What did they need?
They knew the potential for violence there. Management here at the time was telling me and the camera people we had to be very careful and don't put our lives in jeopardy. We were trying to do that, but at the same time, we had to cover the story.
Where were you positioned?
When it started, I was at the corner of 62nd and Pine, a block over. That's where our truck was set up, our live truck was set up at that point. I had tried to talk to MOVE people earlier. I said, listen, why are you going to have this debacle out? Yeah, we want our people out of jail and we're not backing down. I said, and I told one of the MOVE members, I told Ramona Africa, I said, Ramona, these guys are out here from the 78 shootout. She said they're very bitter about what happened, and you guys have been at each other's throats for years and years now. And she said, tell them to come on with it.
What did you see that day?
It's like a war zone. I've been to them before as a reporter, so gunfire doesn't automatically upset me as loud as it can be, especially with weapons that should be used in a theater of war. But this was about 5 miles from where I lived and in my own adopted home city, so it was an incredible sight. The helicopters buzzing around after the initial volley of shots. It turns out police were doing nearly all the firing. MOVE just had four basically pop guns and down there. A couple of, as I understand, were not even operable. It was 10,000 rounds of high-powered weapon blasting into that fortified house, and I will never forget it.
You knew there'd be trouble.
You try to prepare yourself for that and the level of violence. Even I was stunned by the level of weaponry the police brought to the scene that day. It was just incredible.
Then the ensuing fire, were you back at work?
I went back to work when I saw the fire burning out of control. And by the time I got back, I think the fire was pretty much under control, as I remember now. I watched it all unfold on television, obviously. But the fire was pretty much out in Dallas by the time I came back.
60 homes, a city block, 61 homes. Reporters covered this for days. You didn't have cell phones back then. You're doing it the old-fashioned way.
Right.
What is it like to cover such a tragedy, a travesty, the old-fashioned way? I think some people who are listening to us now don't understand the type of reporting that's required.
No, you didn't have cell phones, or we may have had walkie-talkies back then. I'm not quite sure. I went into houses in the surrounding area several times to use the telephone to call in reports, and we had live capability out there, but again, the helicopters are flying over the scene, but again, they weren't sending back live pictures or transmitting back live pictures in the sense that we see them now when there's some kind of situation that develops. It was a completely different day.
How does this stack up to anything you've seen?
I guess it's the biggest thing I've done since I've been here. But again, there was Three Mile Island, and I've been fortunate enough to go overseas and cover Nelson Mandela and the fall of the Berlin Wall and other things. But that wasn't here, again, right in my own adopted home city.
You know the city well. Is the sting of the moon bombing something that you hear people still having to deal with 30 years later?
People don't talk about it much anymore. I don't hear a lot of comments about it. So many of the principal players are gone. The MOVE victims are obviously all gone. The police command that was so inept that day, and those who lost control, complete control of the police department, are all long since retired. So they're not around.
Did you learn anything about yourself as a reporter? Were you more prepared in other circumstances when there were confrontations?
Well, because no, any other confrontation I've ever covered, they were not an organized group of people who'd had an ongoing serial confrontations with the police. You mean you cover confrontations all the time where criminals are trapped, but those are one-shot deal. This was an ongoing fiasco that boiled over once, then 7 years later it boiled over again.
Well, Vernon Odom, thank you so much for your time.
Well, you're very welcome. I hope I've been able to shed some light and reflect back on all that.